B-Pod Studios.
Question here.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. In the NFC Championship game, Saints tight end Ben Watson is going to be inactive. He's been battling appendicitis. Celtics 122-116 winners over the Grizzlies last night. They are right back at it tonight, taking on the Hawks. Sean Grandy, Cedric Max will have the call over on 105.7 WROR starting at 7 o'clock. Elsewhere in the NBA, the Nets and big man Kenneth Faried have reached a buyout. He's expected to sign with the Rockets. And reports out that former Celtics All-Star guard Isaiah Thomas will make his debut with the Nuggets just prior to the All-Star break. Bruins welcoming the Rangers to the Garden tonight in their final game before the bye week. Jets are up. Bob Beers have the call right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, with coverage beginning at 6:30. And in Major League Baseball, multiple reports out that the Yankees are getting close to a trade that would send pitcher Sonny Gray to the Reds. Sports Hub headlines brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Winter is here. Get your car ready at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Go to getanoilchange.com to save 15%. I'm Tim McCone on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports. Every next update, 30 minutes.
Five-time Super Bowl champions Tom Brill, Belichick, and the New England Patriots play here.
Just throws it to White. From the end zone! Touchdown, Patriots!
Like that, just like that.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics in bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper! Hour to go here on Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Championship Sunday Eve, a spot that I thought the Patriots would be in when we last did this show last Saturday. I certainly didn't think the Patriots, though, would dominate the L.A. Chargers the way that they did. And I think it has a lot of fans rightfully so, and even the team, with a bit of a different perspective than they had just a few weeks ago. I was just happy for them even getting to the playoffs and certainly getting the bye. But let me say this, Chris. No matter what happens tomorrow, successful season, this is all gravy. I didn't expect them to get back to the Super Bowl this year. I didn't. Teams haven't. No team has since the Bills of the early 90s, those loser teams. So I just needed them to get to the championship game. No matter what happens tomorrow, unless they're blown out and it's a complete embarrassment, then I'll maybe have a little bit of a different perspective. But if it plays out the way that I think it is, competitive game, they only lose by a handful of points, it's gravy to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think here's the thing. I would agree with what you're saying overall, but Belichick and Brady, I think at this point, are in a situation where they almost get penalized for making it to this game. And if they get to this game and lose, I feel like it's held against them more than if they don't make it at all. And if they lose, it's like, oh, now you're 8-5 in AFC championship games and, you know, 2-4 on the road. And people will use that against them, I think, from a legacy standpoint, instead of looking at what an accomplishment it was this year to get this team to that place.
So who are you talking about? Like the Max Kellermans and Rob Parkers and Colin Cowherds of the world, like national talking heads? Like,
yeah, I think it's mostly national talking heads, but I think there might could be a little of that on Felger and Mass.
Oh, yeah, no, sure. But I wouldn't hold that against them. I don't hold that against them. And especially granted, I was drastic about it at the time, but I was pretty pissed about it. They lose in Miami, they lose in Pittsburgh, then the Josh Gordon thing happens. I was referring to it as a lost season. It felt like a lost season. It felt like they were going to be playing Wild Card Weekend for the first time since 2009. And I was like, this, it's just a down year for them, right?
So it's felt like that most of the year.
And that's why, like, my perspective changed. If they got to the championship game, had the bye, like, it's gravy to me. And I, Beadle and I have gone back and forth about this, and I think Felger and Mass think I'm not saying it too. Look, if they go to the Super Bowl and they win it, considering the teams that they would have had to beat, the Chargers, who I thought were the best team in the conference, this Chiefs team is the deserving number one seed. And whether it's the Rams or the Saints, they do that, Chris. I think it is literally the greatest accomplishment in the Brady Belichick era, even more than 2000.
Wow. Wow. That is high praise. And you know what? It's interesting when you – I'm going to think about that for a second, but I'm just thinking some other seasons that would be up there. I mean, obviously 2001.
Yep.
Is
2011.
Is definitely up there. 2011's up there. They did a great job with that team, but you just brought up level of competition – they played, you know, Tyler Palko was the quarterback for the Chiefs back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was a different level. Vince Young, they played Vince Young and the Eagles. So it was a different level of competition to get there. 2008 was pretty great, winning 11 games without Brady. I mean, that was, I know they didn't, yeah, that does nothing for you, huh?
It does nothing for me. Okay. It really doesn't.
All right. Yeah,
you're,
I mean,
two of the years you're so, like, pumped up about 07 and 08, I just, ugh, like, they do nothing for me.
I mean, I'm not super pumped up. 08 sucked. With no Brady, I'm just saying that they did a great job that year. That was a great coaching job. I mean, if you're just talking about pure coaching job, right?
Yeah.
So are you talking about pure coaching job or accomplishment? Because I think they might be a little different.
Well, I mean, look.
Like historical feather in the cap or like best coaching job you've ever done?
No, I think it's all of it. Because even it's easier to do now to look at that 0-1 team
yeah.
and say, look at how much talent they had on the defensive side of the ball.
Sure.
And even from a Pro Bowler's perspective, they had yeah. four compared to two this year.
I know.
So,
but Brady wasn't Brady yet.
I know.
And that offense was limited.
No, I know.
Limited.
But still, defensively, like, look at it now and the way yeah. you could play the game then. Is it really that as big of a surprise as it was then that team upset the Rams in the Super Bowl? Like, they, to me, I don't know. Look, I'm not trying to knock that accomplishment. But
okay.
this, for me personally, and how I looked at this team and how it was a down year and how Brady yep. looked old
yeah.
and how Gronk is done or looked done for most yep. of this year. And it just, like I said, I was referring to it a lost season, like that they could get there and win the thing. Greatest accomplishment. I'm dug in on
it's
that.
It's interesting. I think here's what makes your case, and I think it's a great take, but here's what makes your case is when you say level of competition. That's what opened my eyes. Now all of a sudden, because originally I was like, I heard you say this before, and I was like, no. But then when you start talking about, okay, you beat the Chargers, then you go on the road and beat the Chiefs, and then on a neutral field you're going to beat the Rams or the Saints, I think you got a case, Jim.
All right. See?
I think you got a case.
Blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. Either way, your guys' thoughts on tomorrow's game.
Of course, you know, sorry to interrupt you, but, you know, really, the greatest accomplishment is going 16-0 in the regular season.
Yes, no, I know. Yes, you okay. want the banner. You still love that year. A joyless exercise, I think, is how Maz referred to that season yesterday, and I agree with him there. But in terms of, like, X's and O's in this game, how do the Patriots go into Arrowhead tomorrow and pull off an upset? Is it about the running game and how yeah. they utilize Sony Michel and James White, because they had great success utilizing the two backs against the Chiefs when they played them in October?
Yeah, I mean, you look at Sony Michel was fantastic against them. The Chiefs have allowed 3 100-yard rushers this season, and Sony Michel was the first guy. So I think you do try and come in there, you know, and at least, you know, make sure you have the balance you had last week against the Chargers, and you can set some stuff up with play action. So I think you do that. I'll be interested to see how the Chiefs defend the Patriots, because I think that's sort of, you know, where it goes from there. You have to see how they're defending you. If they're giving you James White, then you take that all day long and you try and do the sort of death by 1,000 paper cuts, because that puts it in a situation where you're moving down the field and you're also keeping Patrick Mahomes off the field. My guess is the Patriots expect these guys to play a lot of man defense, and that they're going to come up with a lot of man beaters there. You're going to see a lot of, like, pick routes and stuff where guys, you might see some of that stack that you saw against the Chargers, stuff like that, to try and free guys up. And then also make sure that they still have to respect the run. And I wouldn't be surprised, you know, who knows what the game plan would be, but I wouldn't be surprised if they slow it down a little bit. Like, to me, this would not be the game to come out and go up-tempo.
And in terms of the defense for the yeah. Patriots, who should get Tyreek Hill? Is that Stephon Gilmore's assignment?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Gilmore. It's Gilmore. Let him play really aggressive on him underneath, and then have somebody, you know, who can really run over the top of him. And take that guy away. You know, make other guys beat you. Make Travis Kelce beat you. Travis Kelce's a really good player, but the Patriots have been physical with him, and he hasn't had the impact against them that he's had against other teams. You know, if Sammy Watkins, who still is dealing with that foot injury, if J.C. Jackson is what everybody keeps telling me he is, then he should be able to, you know, wipe him out the way he did Juju Smith-Schuster. And so now what are you down to now? Now it's Jason McCourty against Chris Conley or DeMarcus Robinson. You should be able to win that. And I don't think you have to worry about the backside of the backfield, at least down the field, as much. Obviously, there's stuff you're going to see, check down, swing passes, screen passes. All that type of stuff is still there, and you have to tackle. Patriots did a pretty good job of that in the first game against Spencer Ware. I went back and watched some of that. They had some of those short little gadget passes or swing passes to the running back. They did a good job against that. You know, what killed them was Kareem Hunt coming out of the backfield, going down the field. We don't have to worry about Kareem Hunt, and I'm not sure that's an element of the Chiefs passing game that they still have with Williams or Ware, you know, despite what we heard from our Kansas City Chiefs guest. I haven't seen it. You know, I went back and watched all of Damian Williams' receptions this year on Game Pass. You can do that. And I don't see stuff down the field.
Yeah, I don't either. So we had talked to Soren Petro, does sports radio out in Kansas City, and he said in terms of the passing game, yeah, Damian Williams is the same as Kareem Hunt. I'm sorry. Like, that guy is, anytime, at least in the two games he played against the Patriots, he's always been like 15 to 20 yards away from the closest defensive player. So
the numbers, and I said them in the first half, I'll say them again, the numbers are absurd. Just pass receiving. 10 catches on 11 targets for 203 yards and 3 touchdowns against the Patriots in 2 games. And oh, by the way, the running wasn't bad either. He averaged 8.4 yards per carry against them. He was a Patriot killer, and now he's not there.
Yeah, and in terms of what you were saying, whether or not the legacy might take a hit if we go into this game and lose it tomorrow, not to me. And frankly, I don't care. Like, if people want to hold that against them, like, you're going to hold continued success against them. It's just,
well, I think anytime they lose an AFC Championship game or a Super Bowl, it sort of goes back to that greatest argument, and there's people willing to say, well, you know, Joe Montana wouldn't have lost that game. Not even taking into account the times Joe Montana didn't get to the conference championship game.
No, considering how this team played for much of this year, and especially how they played on the road, there's no way. If they lose tomorrow, unless it's a massive, hideous blowout like 44-3, then we'll have, you know, I'll have to change my perspective a little bit. But they lose a competitive game tomorrow, no, I'm not holding that against them, because they got the AFC championship game this year at 11-5, and they squeaked into the 2 seed and got the bye. Absolutely not. What I will hold against them, though, no matter how this plays out, they lose tomorrow, blowout, close, whatever, was what happened in the end of that Miami game in December. I'll explain why next here on Gasper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports.
This is Gasper and Murray. You listen. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tannehill throws down the middle, caught by Stills, laterals back to Butler, or rather Parker, who flips it to Drake. He runs across before he doing it, angling inside.
That's it. 25,
15, 10, he's going to win the full race to the end zone.
He's going.
The Dolphins are going to win it.
Are you shitting me?
And the lateral, once, then twice, and Drake takes it in, and the Patriots stand stunned in disbelief.
Where the f*** are they all?
I don't know what
down
to say.
What the f***?
Was it Gronk back there?
Yeah, Gronkowski deep. He almost blows his knee out trying to get to the sideline.
You've got
that last play. Linger is really one of the worst memories in Patriots history, at least with the recent past.
That summarizes everything down here. It really does.
Paul, get ready to never forget this one.
The Dolphins have won it over the Pats, 34-33.
Are you me?
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub, the Miami meltdown. Why revisit that? Well, because here's my question. Where are people going to place blame if they lose this tomorrow, like they did in 2015 in Denver to the Broncos in a close game? Because for me, no matter what happens, bad pick six, fumbled punt.
Missed extra point.
Gostkowski turned into the Polish puddle. There's only one guy to blame, and it's Bill and his coaching decisions and having Rob Gronkowski on the field at the end of the play. Because in the NFL, Chris, maybe more than any other sport in all the professional sports, it lives up to the cliches that everybody uses when talking about teams and players. You are what your record says you are. You get what you deserve. The Patriots are 11-5. They missed the number one seed and home field throughout. And it comes back to the meltdown in Miami and the stubbornness of having Rob Gronkowski out on the field for a Hail Mary that literally could not have been completed by a bum quarterback in Ryan Tannehill, who was dealing with myriad injuries, including an ankle injury sustained in that very game. And you could also make the argument, and I don't agree with this one because it drove me crazy at the time, that Bill maybe screwed up with the last possession the Patriots had by settling for the field goal, not trying for the touchdown. Even if they don't get it, the Dolphins have to drive like 97 yards for the score. Regardless, this is why this game tomorrow reeks of 2015 to me, where the difference in the conference championship game was absolutely, without question, home field. I think this game is going to be an under tomorrow. I think it's not going to be as high scoring as people expect. I think it's going to be more of a defensive battle in the 20s, like high 20s. But I think it's a player to miss kick basically what happened in 2015 all over again, where the difference is home field. If the Patriots are playing this game in Gillette, I'm picking the Pats. Because it's the Chiefs and it's in Arrowhead, I'm picking Arrowhead. I'm picking the Chiefs and Arrowhead because that place has notoriously been a house of horrors. And Bill's stubborn coaching decisions down the stretch in 2015. Well, let's run it 52 straight times with Steven Jackson in Miami. And the Nate Ebner nonsense,
the mortar kick
against Philadelphia, all that stuff.
Wait, you left one out. How about
the overtime against the Jets?
Deferring an overtime against the Jets.
All that cost them the one seed. It cost them another ring because they would have beaten the Carolina Panthers in that Super Bowl. That was a complete no-show by them. I feel the same thing's going to end up happening this time. Because in the NFL, again, lives up to the cliches. You get what you deserve. And missed opportunities usually, if not always, come back and bite you right in the ass. And that's why I think this plays out tomorrow with a Chiefs win that's going to be excruciating.
Look, I think the question we've had all year long about this team is, what's up with them on the road? Why can't they summon their best football on the road? What is happening with the Patriots, who are normally one of the most mentally tough teams in the NFL, that when they go on the road, they don't perform? Not only did they lose five times on the road this year, not only were they 3-5, you mentioned the ignominious end against Miami. That was really bad. But how about three double-digit losses on the road? I mean, that's really bad too. However, I just think that this is a new season for them. They're facing a Chiefs team that has had their number in terms of putting points on the board, but a big part of that, at least the last couple of times, has been the presence of Kareem Hunt. And if you want to go all the way back to the last time they were there in 2014 in the Monday Night Massacre, you know who had a big role in that game? Jamaal Charles. Jamaal Charles had a big role in that game. So I don't look at Kansas City and say they still have that dynamic Jamaal Charles, Kareem Hunt type of running back. And playing them a second time, I think the Patriots have a lot of confidence. I think their defense is playing a lot better. Maybe we sort of overlook some of that after the Miami game. Just, you know, the way they played in Pittsburgh, I think maybe was overlooked because the offense didn't play really well. So when you put all that together, and again, for me, just Kareem Hunt not being there, second time around with Mahomes, Bill Belichick on the sideline devising a game plan that I think will make it harder to generate big plays for the Chiefs, I think the Patriots can pull this one out.
And you are taking them tomorrow.
I am taking them tomorrow. Yep, I have the Patriots.
All right, John, in the car, you are next here on Gaspar Murray on 98.5 of Sports. But, of course, the thing locked up. Damn you, technology. He's on line 6, if you could pop him up there, Tracy. Radio, it's a fickle beast. Ah, the hell with the calls then. The NFC, nah, it's fine.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, hey, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, what's up?
You know, you guys are talking, well, I'm picking New England in that game, but, you know, you don't have, and I commend Belichick this year and Brady for taking on Josh Gordon. When this kid was, you know, his career was over with, they took him on. I felt like his talent is phenomenal, but he was a burden in the locker room a little bit. You got to admit that. And you were talking about the Miami game when that ball hit him in the forearm. And they folded up in that game. And shortly after that, he relapsed. And I feel like now it seems like a burden of Josh Gordon. No disrespect to the man because he's struggling.
Oh. Hello?
Hello. I don't know what the hell happened there. Josh Gordon, do you regret that signing? I mean, it just felt, look, in the 11 weeks he was there, he helped. But I remember, didn't you say, like, they ended up almost relying on him too much?
Yeah, I thought they did.
The easy second guess now, too, is like, well, look how good Philip Dorsett is. You throw a ball to him, he catches it. Isn't he making, like, 15 out of the last 16 catches that he's been targeted on?
Good possession receiver.
You know, him being taken out of that offense with Gordon here, like, so, you know, say, you know, Philip Dorsett can't get separation tomorrow, or there's a couple of balls that clang off of his hands. Would that happen if he was involved in the offense a little bit more? Because while Gordon was here, he was taken away.
Well, I said this at the time when they signed Josh Gordon, I'm going to stick by it. You know, the idea, the issue for me from day one was that you start to rely on this guy, he becomes a part of your offense, and then in the biggest games of the year, the games you need him the most, he's not here. You know, I think that it would be tremendous for the Patriots if they had Josh Gordon in this game. I think he's exactly the type of guy who could burn the Chiefs. I think it would put the Chiefs in a little bit of a pickle in terms of how to do things defensively, but he's not here, and that's the reality of it. And I feel for the guy. I hope he gets whatever help he needs to get to be able to go on and live his life, whether he ever plays in the NFL again or not, because you root for him first and foremost as a person. But this is why I said from the jump that, you know, the people running around saying this is a low-risk signing, no, it was never low-risk. It was low-cost, and there's a difference. You know, low risk means that someone's reliable, that you can bank on it, that it will be there when you need it. That was never going to be the case for him. And I think that just goes back to your point, I guess, about this would be the most remarkable accomplishment, because now throw Josh Gordon in the mix. Here's this guy who was a big part of you winning 11 games, and you went to him in the middle of the season because you had nothing at wide receiver, and you bank on him and lean on him, and then suddenly he gets taken away late in the year, and you have to readjust and recalibrate, and you're able to do it and go to the Super Bowl and win the thing. I think that's just another piece of your argument.
Oh yeah, no, that's part of it too. Because I think he's had lack of weapons. So some of these guys are here in name only now. Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, at times looked like he wasn't the same guy after the knee injury. Let's not forget, people, they had brought in old ass, washed up Eric Decker in the preseason to try to have him be part of the wide receiver core here. So that they went and got Josh Gordon, it was more of a move of desperation.
It was complete desperation.
You know, so if they pull off that, that's again, another feather in my cap for my argument of why this would be the greatest accomplishment in this Patriots era if they ended up going to the Super Bowl and winning this thing. Do you have a preference? So you were picking the Pats. Who's the better matchup? What's the sexier matchup for the Super Bowl?
Oh, I think it's obviously Breeze, Brady, two 40-year-old quarterbacks in the Super Bowl. Peyton and Belichick are buddies. New Orleans Saints, New England Patriots, teams that have won Super Bowls before. I think it's that. It's a marquee matchup of quarterbacks and coaches, and I think that's the sexier matchup, obviously, than it's, say, Patriots, Rams. But, you know, that's the one. So, you know, I picked the Saints to win the Super Bowl before the year started.
Me too.
And I know I should ride with that.
But
and
you're not?
I'm not.
Oh.
I got the Rams today.
Sellout.
I know. I'm sorry.
Why?
I just think the way Aqib Talib has played down the stretch for them. And when I look at, there's a couple of things. No Ben Watson today, tomorrow for the Saints. That kid Keith Kirkwood, who's not bad and who it seems like Breeze relies on, I guess he's not going to play. I'm just not sure the Saints have enough weapons. And look, maybe Wade Phillips is an idiot and he just lets Michael Thomas do what Michael Thomas does. But I have to believe with a healthy Talib, and Peters has been playing better of late, and the fact that Thomas torched them in the first game, that even if Sean McVay has to step in and say to Wade, like, look, we're not getting beat by this guy. He's literally like the only wide receiving weapon they have. Kamara's great, don't get me wrong, but we're not going to get beat by Michael Thomas. And I didn't think the Saints looked that good.
Down the stretch, they didn't.
And I'm with you.
So their wide receiver, even last week. No, you're right. Because outside of Michael Thomas, their wide receivers stink. That they really rely on Ted Ginn, who's just essentially like a return man. He's like their Cordarrelle Patterson. Like, stop it. And the other thing I don't like that they do, and I haven't liked this the whole season, Chris, they get too cute with this Taysom Hill, the Mormon missile. There's times I've watched some of these games. Well, that's his nickname. That's what they
is
call
that really
him.
His nickname?
The Mormon missile. That's not my own. I wish I could come up with something that silly.
Never mind. I'm not going to say it.
But either way, there's been times I've watched the Saints this year, and I'm like, wow, what a duck that was by Breeze. And I come back, I'm like, it's this idiot? Like, what are you doing? Like, is this wildcat nonsense? Like, stop with the Taysom Hill. So I can see them, Sean Payton, you know, trying to outthink everybody, thinking he's the smartest guy in the room and putting him in, and that kid throws a pick or has a bad turnover. And I know he's been a dynamic player. He picks up the fake punt last week for the first down in their own territory, so he can be a weapon. But it just feels like he'll try to outthink everybody. He'll put him in a bad situation. He'll throw a pick or something stupid will happen.
I mean, it's really hard to win in that dome, and that's why I went back and forth and back and forth on this game. I mean, I definitely feel good about the Rams and the points. I will say that. But I'm going to pick the Rams outright.
Yeah, I can't go against Breeze at home. And I know they've looked his first pass of the game last week. It's an interception. I am no believer in Jared Goff, and I can't feel good about him. And Sean McVay's the real deal. Like, his offense is legit. That might be the best run-blocking offensive line in the NFL. C.J. Anderson, he's made a deal with the devil. He's this year's Nick Foles, seemingly.
Yeah.
But Nick Foles, down six, got to go the length of the field. Ugh.
Are you Nick Foles? Jared Goff.
Jared Goff, sorry. No, Nick Foles, please. He's picking that up. He's made the deal with the devil, although that seemingly, you know, the devil cashed in last week as the ball goes through
Alshon
Jeffrey's hands. No, Jared Goff, to have to go length of the field to get six, I'm sorry. No, I'm no believer in him. It gets tight. The balls end up getting thrown into the dirt with that kid. And he's a dummy. Doesn't even know where the sun sets. Jared Goff, the hell out of here with that. yes, I think it's going to be, I hope I'm wrong. Chiefs. Saints, that's who I have in Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta. The sexier thing, though, not just for the old quarterbacks. By the way, this isn't played up enough. If it's Pats, New Orleans, oh. Do you understand? I don't think a lot of people understand the level of sports schadenfreude. You can enjoy the pain, enjoying the pain and misery of others. The Falcons and Falcons fans in Atlanta residents, they hate the Saints so much. It's like Red Sox-Yankees type stuff. Now, it's a fake rivalry, like, outside of that area. Who the hell gives a rat's ass? But trust me, having worked down there, they would go to the Atlanta airport and egg the bus of the Saints when they would come for those road games. They hate New Orleans. And, of course, they hate the Patriots. The Patriots fans because of 28-3 and what happened in Super Bowl 51. So let me tell you, for that place to have to host the Super Bowl,
one of those teams wins.
If it's Patriots-Saints, you don't understand the level of hate and just pain that that's going to bring to that area. Oh, it's another reason to root for it. You have to. Okay, your calls, I promise, next on the AFC Championship game, Pats, Chiefs, anything else we've talked about today here on Gasper and Murray. First, though, McComb with the headlines.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
I think we're expecting really what they've done all season, you know, and that's, you know, they're the number one seed. They've played really well, you know, against a lot of good teams. They've been in all these games. Even the games they've lost, they've been into them right to the end. They've had some close games at home. We studied, obviously, all the games this season. And they're just, you know, they're good. They're hard-nosed, you know, playing the Midwest, you know, used to the cold weather. Saw in the game against Indy, you know, they were obviously ready to handle it. Indy wasn't, you know, and ended up being kind of a blowout. They play hard. They're well-coached, good on offense, good on defense, explosive returners, you know, veteran coaches. Nothing's going to surprise them. You know, we're both trying to get to the same place. You know, that's what the playoffs are all about. It'll be an exciting game.
Patriots quarterback Tom Brady on the opposition tomorrow. Kansas City Chiefs. AFC Championship game. It's Gasper and Murray, 617-779-0985 is the phone number. I promise we'll get right to your calls. Do have to remind you, though, it's the second annual ping pong tournament. It's Patrice Bergeron and Touchman Rich presenting Pucks and Paddles, great event that they put together to benefit the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. It's happening Thursday, February 7th at Royal Boston. Bid to play doubles ping pong against your favorite Bruins player, Touchman Rich, John Wallach, Mark Bertrand, and others. VIP tickets. This ensures that you can get to the autograph session, meet some of the players, take photos, selfies, what have you. $200. General admission tickets, $50. For all the information on the event, Pucks and Paddles 2, and to buy tickets, go to 985thesportshub.com. Your thoughts on the AFC Championship game and anything else we've touched on this afternoon, including the NFC Championship game, some Celtics stuff. We did the Sports Hub Celtics show, of course. Have at it. Again, one open phone line, 617-779-0985. Sean in Idaho, you're next here on Gasper Murray. Hello, Sean.
Hello, and good afternoon there, gentlemen. How are you guys doing today?
Good, thank you.
Doing well.
Good. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I got the Patriots winning this game by a field goal. You know, it's not going to be like week six when it was like 43-40. I mean, that was a great Sunday night game back in October. But I think I can agree with you. I could see like maybe 22-19 or 23-20. I could just see Brady leading them down the field. And I agree with what you're saying. You know, Kansas City's a good team. They're tough at home. And I know it's been the house of horrors, but, you know, you can't ever, ever go against Tom Brady. You always have to know with his great playoff resume that he's always managed to get it done.
Sean, thanks for the call. Sean believes in Stephen Gostkowski on the road. John in the car, I feel like you're the complete opposite of him.
Hey, guys. First of all, thanks for taking my phone call. You guys put on a good show. Helps me. I work Saturdays in the morning, so that you guys help me get it through. Thanks. First of all, I already feel bad for that guy, Sean. He's going to be... he's going to be disappointed tomorrow. Basically, the Polish puddle should be what David Price used to be in this town. This guy gets a pass, it seems like. Every time there's a big game, he misses extra points. He misses field goals. He blew the game into Miami. That's the reason why they're in Kansas City, not at home. That clown missed an extra point and a field goal in Miami. He's not that good. He's never hit a clutch kick. I'm tired of Patriots fans saying, oh, he's the all-time scorer in Patriots history. What? He should be. I mean, they score so many touchdowns. He gets a lot of field goal chances. Basically, what that guy is to the Patriots is what a waiter is at a nice restaurant who's supposed to pour the water, and that's it. Except this guy, this clown, always spills the water when it's a big game.
Thanks, John. I thought I hated kickers. To say he's never hit a clutch kick is... that's false.
Look, yeah, we can go back to, 2006.
Yeah, and the one that really put it for me was where I stopped being nervous about him for a long time was, do you remember in the 2015 regular season at the New York Giants, and the Giants have certainly owned the Patriots' souls during this run here, unfortunately, but that regular season game, he hit like a 53-yarder to ultimately seal that game. Now, does he still make me nervous? Yes. And their kicking game has been bad on the road. Reading from your colleague at the Boston Globe, Nora Princiotti, I think she posted this yesterday. Why do the Patriots struggle when they're on the road? She breaks it down. And when she gets to Gostkowski, 92.9%, 13 for 14 on field goals, and a perfect 32 for 32 on extra points at Gillette Stadium this season. Excellent, right? On the road, 77.8%, 14 of 18 on field goals, and 94.4%, 17 of 18 in extra points on the road. Like, and just remember the Super Bowl last year, the Super Bowl against Atlanta in Houston, the AFC Championship game in 2015 in Denver. It just feels like he gets tight at the worst possible time. So this is why I can't get it out of my head. This is what I'm nervous about, is it coming down to him tomorrow in a tight game and it being tight because you were on the road, because you blew it in Miami, you blew it in Pittsburgh. So I don't trust any kicker. It's not just a Gostkowski thing. I can't even trust Vinatieri anymore, apparently, because he's missing kicks.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it happens, particularly in the playoffs. Obviously, it's magnified more when it happens in the playoffs. You know, I think here's the thing with Gostkowski, and I'm not going to sit here and say he hasn't missed kicks, because obviously he has missed some kicks. But one, when Vinatieri was doing it first, there was no 33-yard extra point. The extra point was a chippy. People weren't missing extra points. That was a rule change initiated by the coach. He wanted to make the play more competitive. It's more competitive. That means there are some misses. And the other thing I would say is that he really just has not had the opportunities that, and I'm not comparing him to Adam. Adam's the greatest clutch kicker of all time. But those opportunities haven't really arisen for Steven Gostkowski to make those memorable kicks that you would say, oh, I remember when he made that one. And people don't seem to remember the Chargers kick that he made, which was a clutch kick. I mean, it was the game-winning points in the game. So I probably have more confidence in him than most. I'm not going to sit there and say he hasn't missed kicks, because he has. But I think when you're looking at it, it's a little bit different than comparing it to the past, because the extra points were gimmies. You know, I mean, you literally had to try and like mule kick the ball backwards to miss an extra point before. And they decided to change the rule, and your head coach changed the rule. He's the one that wanted to make the play more competitive, and it's come back to bite them. So I'd point the finger there a little bit.
Isaiah with a thought on the NFC Championship game. You're next here on Gasper and Murray. Hello, Isaiah.
Yes, I just was listening to your comments about the Taysom Hill. They actually had to bring him in because early in that game, like the very first play, Drew Brees threw a pick to Ted Ginn, who was wide open, 20 yards down the field. He just underthrew it. They had to bring Taysom Hill in later in the game two times to throw that pass because Drew Brees couldn't do it. I think that the storyline is going to be a change of the guard. You're going to see the old quarterbacks lose this weekend, and the young guys go to the Super Bowl. Thanks, guys. Thanks. Take care.
I mean, that's a good storyline.
It's a good storyline.
For the league, there's really no bad storyline. Like, the Super Bowl is like almost a guaranteed. Look, it's the sexiest event in sports anyway. But with these four teams remaining, whatever the permutation is, it's no lose for the NFL, it feels like.
Oh, I would agree. I mean, if you get a rematch of that tremendous Rams-Chiefs regular season game, the 54-51 game, you get a rematch in the Super Bowl, that's a great storyline. You know, Sean McVay, the brightest young mind in the game, versus Bill Belichick, the GOAT of coaches. The brightest mind in the game overall. That's a great storyline. Even Drew Brees versus, you know, Patrick Mahomes. That's a great storyline with the Saints and the Chiefs. You would enjoy that one. One of the old guard quarterbacks versus a new guard quarterback. A guy that's put up incredible stats his whole career versus a guy who's put up incredible stats his first year as a starter. They're all good storylines.
And another good one locally, too, is if it ends up being Patriots-Rams. And let's just say, like, I don't think Brady's done, even if they won the thing, but I think he'll play
two more years.
But yeah, full circle. You start with a win against the Rams, you end with a win against the Rams.
Like, that's a great one, cool too. You're right.
Danny in Medford, you're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello, Danny.
Well, you know, the other guy with the kicker, man, that was beautiful. I couldn't have said it better myself. But the field position issue is a problem with me. That stadium is not an open stadium on either end. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, it's closed. It's a closed stadium.
So
yes.
If you get pinned in, and you know, if you want to bring up these old games, Murray, don't forget in that Denver game, Patriots took the ball. They didn't score on the opening drive, but they did flip the field position. Manning, to his credit, started on the 18. He scored.
Right.
But the biggest play was after Belichick challenged that lateral. There was an incomplete sideways pass. They challenged it. It was called a lateral. They scored. Defense got a stop. And then their punter was Colquitt, put the ball on the 13-yard line, and then Brady threw the pick to Vaughn. There's your ball game. And that stuff doesn't get brought up. The Miami game, you keep talking about the last play. The kicker missed a 41-yard field goal, Gasper. Yeah. I don't care what you say about the 33-yarder on the extra point. you got to make those.
Sure.
41-yard field goal he missed in the Miami game and a 33-yard extra point.
But you can't put the Miami game on the kicker, though, Danny. That's just absurd. I mean, you should have made those, but you
say
can't.
That again?
You can't put the Miami game on the kicker. Everybody knew what the situation was with the time left. At that point, that's in the past. Get the guy down, you win the game. Okay. He should have made the kick, but you can't turn that around and blame it on the kicker.
Well, he left four. That's 4 points. Those are tangible points.
Everybody knew before the ball was snapped in the last play what they needed to do to win, correct?
Let me ask
did they
you
do
a
it?
Question.
Did they do it? No, I'm asking you a question. Did they do it? Did they do it? Yes or no? They all knew what they had to do. Did they do it?
No. Well, they missed a tackle. The guy.
No, they didn't miss a tackle. Yeah, they missed every tackle.
That's what I'm saying. They missed tackles. What happens to the offense on an interception? The offense becomes a defense. They tackle. 98% of the time, the guy gets tackled on an interception. 2% of the time, the guy runs it there. You still there?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay.
I'm listening.
2%
yes.
of the time.
Yeah.
I've seen linemen, offensive linemen, tight ends, and quarterbacks make tackles on interceptions. Don't give me this crap. There was a lot of stuff that happened in that game.
There was, but it doesn't matter before that ball is snapped what happened. It doesn't. That's ridiculous. All they know is they make the tackle, they win. They didn't get it done. That's the game, Danny. Everybody knew. Do you think they're thinking about the missed field goal at that point? Or are they just thinking, all we have to do is tackle this guy and we win?
Yeah, there was many missed tackles.
That one's on the coaching staff.
All right, you want to go there?
That one's on the coaching staff.
How about the Super Bowl last year? 550 yards. Next to last drive, down five, second, 2 minutes and 16 seconds, second down, he just completed the pass. Brady, your man, got stripped from the front side. Forget about what happened in the rest of the game. That's your argument. I'm making the same argument. He got stripped.
That's a completely different situation. There's 8 seconds left. You have the lead. All you have to do is tackle. He needed to drive down the length of the field to win the game, and I was one of the first people to say it. I said it to you after the game. I said, he messed up on that play. He should have dumped the ball off to James White.
Oh, especially when you go back and look at it.
Yeah, I told you that. You looked at it. That was Brady's fault. He should have dumped the ball off to James White.
Yeah.
But that's a little different from you have the lead. The other team has one play left in it, and they need to go however long that was, 70-something yards. Like that's. I'm not absolving Gostkowski for missing the kick. I just think now we're piling on when we're blaming him for the Miami loss. Like, that's just a little ridiculous. And it's another sort of ridiculous Danny contrarian, like, football take, which I've just had enough of today.
I had to let him go. We gave him almost 3 minutes. And you have a flight to catch.
I do.
So you're going to bounce. We're going to do the 5 questions with you, McCone. So get ready. 5 questions for McCone that have nothing to do with sports. We'll wrap up the show with that next. Have a safe flight, my friend.
Thank you.
Hopefully it's not too bumpy. And I was following along with Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. He's traveling with Chris Price to try to get out there, and it's been like planes, trains, and automobiles.
Oh, no.
Apparently, they're driving from Des Moines.
Oh, jeez.
So good luck with that.
Okay.
Safe
travels. Doesn't happen to me.
Yeah, and we'll be back right after this to wrap up the show. 5 questions for Tim McCone that have nothing to do with sports next here on the Sports Hub.
I got 5 questions for Chris Casper of the Globe. I got 5 questions that got nothing.
Gasper had to split because he had a plane to catch to get to Kansas City. By the way, he's flying to Kansas City via Denver. So fly over Kansas City, go to Denver, Denver, back to KC. Good luck with that, Chris. So we'll wrap up the show the way we normally do. 5 questions for, well, Tim McCone is going to be filling in Chris Gasper's place here to wrap this up. 5 questions for Tim McCone, got nothing to do with sports. Question number one, McCone, with our first real snowstorm of the winter hitting us this weekend, does the winter make you angry?
Yes, I hate the winter so much.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'm so over it. I used to like it as a kid, but no, I have no... The snow does nothing for me at this point. I don't ski. I don't do any of that stuff, so it's just an inconvenience.
Winter truly is for children. And I used to ski. I haven't in 4 years now. It's just too much of a hassle. Once I'm on the slopes, I enjoy it, but the getting there, the boots, all the rentals, it's ugh, no thanks. I'm with you. Question number two, Tim McCone. This week, Varsity Blues turned 20 years old. True or false, Varsity Blues, the best football movie ever made?
I'm a huge Ollie Larder guy. That was kind of my eye-opening moment as a kid. So, yes, all in on Varsity Blues, yeah.
I'm glad you brought this up. It's true. And I know you can make a case for Friday Night Lights or maybe even North Dallas 40, something like that. But it's true. It's the best football movie of all time. It's dramatic. It's funny at times. It still holds up. And it has maybe the hottest scene in a movie since Phoebe Cates came out of the pool in Fast Times at Ridgemont High in the early 80s. The Ollie Larder whipped cream bikini scene that you were referring to. Outrageous. Oh. And the only person throwing harder heat
in 1999. More than Natalie Lauder, Pedro Martinez. Question number three. Snoop Dogg was recently invited to do some play-by-play during a Kings broadcast. The fans loved it. If you were a play-by-play guy, Tim McCone, what celeb would you want to make a cameo with you as the color guy?
Oh, God. This is tough. I have no idea.
So Dave Chappelle immediately comes to my mind because, well, he's hysterical for one, but I feel like he'd be able to think quick on his feet and make some witty commentary. Like, Dave Chappelle, I think, would be a good color guy for a few segments in a game.
He would be good, huh?
All right, you got nothing there, McComb. No. We're running out of time. Next, hopefully you can do this one. Melissa Etheridge going to be performing the national anthem tomorrow at the AFC Championship game. Your thoughts?
Not a fan. No, doesn't do it for me. I also have the worst taste in music. I like 90s R&B and country music. Those are my two genres. So Melissa Etheridge really doesn't fit in that mold.
So I was thinking, like, maybe there's a better option, but if you Google famous musicians from Kansas City...
Not much.
All the good ones are dead, and they're all jazz musicians that really don't sing, like Count Basie and guys like that. Like, in terms of contemporary musicians that are still around, alive, that could do this, you could maybe make a case for Puddle of Mud if you wanted it to be, you know, terrible, and you have Wes Scantlin get up there all, like, strung up, like, God bless America, puke. You know, so I guess Melissa Etheridge, even though I'm no fan, is probably the best option for Kansas City musicians. Finally, of your five senses, Tim McCone, which one would you be most afraid of losing?
Sight. Yeah. I wouldn't want to be blind. That would really suck.
Yeah, I think I'm with you ultimately on that one, too. Losing the sense of taste would be pretty terrible, too, as I'm a fat kid at heart, and I love all of the foods. So losing taste would be up there, too, but ultimately it is sight. Tim McCone, thank you for doing a hell of a job filling in on five questions for Chris Gasper. They got nothing to do with sports, and for chiming in and doing the Hub headlines today here on the show. Tracy Clements, thank you for producing the show. And, of course, Chris Gasper, good luck with that flight getting out to Kansas City in one piece. Coming up next, it's Adam Jones, everyone.
Yeah.
Jones, who's turned into, you're a card-carrying Patriots honk, right?
Oh, waving the pot. How could you not be? They've won five Super Bowls.
44-3 is what you're picking?
44-3, Patriots, yeah.
Pats blow it over the Chiefs tomorrow in Arrowhead.
Honestly, I'm disgusted with people like you doubting the team,
yep,
saying they suck. Things like that. You pick Kansas City. Your whole show pick Kansas City this week. Embarrassing.
It's true.
That's honestly embarrassing. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Shame.
You really should be. So we'll take everyone's thoughts and predictions on the game. I do want to go to one area, or I guess two areas, where the Patriots normally have the big old check mark. That's coach and quarterback. Are we sure they have that against Kansas City this weekend? We'll begin with that and also get to some Celtics items, not just Kyrie Irving's night or Marcus Smart's night, but an interesting trade rumor out there with the Celtics that we'll get to. You like Bradley Beal?
I do like Bradley Beal.
Bradley Beal.
I didn't see this floating around. Okay. Jones, a must listen as always, but I definitely didn't know about the Celtics rumor, and hell, I do the Sports Hub Celtics show. Shame on me. Yeah, you're right, Jones. Shame. Shame.
It might be hot off the pot. I don't know how old it is, so it might have been after the Sports Hub Celtics show.
Okay, well, I'll be listening for that. Jones coming up next here. You want to get on with him? 617-779-0985. Enjoy your weekend. Go Pats. Talk to you Monday with Felger and Mazza, too. Goodbye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.